Okay, December 2013. So we're talking about calculating the arrival of Mashiach. So, but before we got on to that topic, I just wanted to talk a little bit about Machlokes. Absolutely turn off the heat, yeah, if someone knows how to do that. To there's a remote. This is a little speaker. So, I just wanted to get into a machlokes just between the Rambam and the Ramban, exactly what will happen in terms of certain concepts of Olam Haba and Yemos Mashiach. So I thought it would be, since we're talking about some of these topics, it would be nice to discuss that machlokes, and then we'll jump into some calculations. So I'm quoting in the third source from Sefer Ikarim, who brings down the Rambam and the Ramban. It's really the Rambam against most other Rishonim. So source 3. B'schar haruchani sh'amru she'egila adam achar hamaves. So the schar that will come to a person after he dies. Nechlechu boch chachme Yisrael achon l'shtei deot. There are two opinions here. Hadeh achad hu deh mi, this is the Rambam. Mi she'amin sh'af im yesh l'tzadigim ha'gmurim ba'olam hazeh schar tov kefi ma'aseim k'mo she'hayel avos. Even though, let's say, tzadigim are getting schar in this world. Mikomakam, what's this ultimate schar that awaits this person? Mikomakam, ikar haschar hu ruchani. It's a spiritual type of schar. And I highlighted the next words, ule nefesh bilvad ba'olam haba. So he says, actually both, the Rambam and the Ramban, both agree that your ultimate reward is coming in olam haba. According to the Rambam, as I said in this first source, ule nefesh ba'olam haba is only a world of nefesh, not of guf at all. Ratzo lamar, ha'olam shehu bal adam achar hamaves miyad, kishenifrat ha'nefesh min ha'guf, kishetiparet ha'nefesh min ha'guf. So it happens, when is Olam Haba according to Rambam? As soon as you die, you go to Olam Haba. That's according to the Rambam, and Olam Haba doesn't have a guf, and that's where you're going to get your schar. She'ein bo lo achila v'lo shtia v'lo shum tanug v'shimush mitanugei haguf v'shimushav. And he quotes the Chazal: Ein bo lo achila v'lo shtia v'lo the olam haba. Ein bo lo achila v'lo shtia v'lo sina v'lo kina v'lo tacharut ela tzadikim yoshvim v'adrosem v'roshem v'nenim zivchashchina. That's how Chazal describe olam haba. So the Rambam says, look, if they're not eating and drinking, you know, we don't have a guf. Klomar, and let me just skip a line, just go to the underline. Be'amin, but also believe. So that's Olam Haba, which happens right after death, and it's only the guf. And that's eternal. Everyone agrees Olam Haba is eternal. But he also says, so where does Tchias HaMesim fit in? So he says, Ve'amin im ze she'im hayot ikar haschar hazeh l'nefesh bavad. So even though we said that the ikar schar is just to the nefesh, believe also, Ojesh scha acher gashmi bolam hazeh. There is another schar gashmi in this world, Limos HaMashiach. In Limos HaMashiach, Limos HaMashiach is the end of this physical world. But there's a time in Limos HaMashiach where you'll have Tchias HaMesim, Sheyichu Az HaTzadikim HaGmurim. The Tzadikim will come back, Tchias HaMesim, live in this world, right? And that's Tchias HaMesim according to the Rambam. And he says, Tzadikim the Nes, or to get certain Tanug, even Tanug Gashmi, they're going to eat and they're going to drink in this world, in Tchias HaMesim. So they're going to have some extra enjoyment that way. Anug, oh, I continued underlying, why are they coming back, these tzadikim? Another reason why the tzadikim come back, or these people come back during Tchias HaMesim, okdei shekanu shlemus yoser, they can rise to a higher level, me'asher kanu betchila, when they were around in this world the first time, k'kasher lo yachlu lahasig b'chayim ha'madrega shaitai ru'uya aleihem, they really maybe wanted to reach a higher level, however they were external constraints, l'fi yoshali b'mipnei ha'ma'ikim michutz v'ol ha'galot, they were in galus. Things were hard for them. They couldn't spend X amount of hours a day learning and growing spiritually as they wanted to for external matters. They come back in Yemos HaMashiach, they can then, even reach higher levels when they're back. Aval mikom makom, they're going to yamutu acher sheyichyo. So they're going to say, after Tchias HaMesim, according to the Rambam, I highlighted again, they're going to die. So they're going to live here. But then die, and then Ve'ashuvu la'afram, meaning they go back V'yisku, back to Olam Haba. So you die, you go to Olam Haba, and then there's a certain time in the future where the thing can come back, it's chesmes on this world, they're going to die again and then go back to Olam Haba. V'yisku, but when they go back again the second time to Olam Haba, since they were able to, they didn't have those constraints that they had when they were here the first time, they can even go in Olam Haba on a higher level. V'yisku, az ha-neshama sahem, b'mashia sigu b'chem ha-shnei, they can now go onto a higher level in Olam Haba because they grew spiritually even now the second time they were down on this world. And this is the Das of the Rambam. Okay, so that was the Rambam. You die, Olam Haba, only Nefesh. Tchias HaMesim has a guf. You die, and the Tchias HaMesim, and you go back to Olam Haba. The Ramban and most other Rishonim disagree. I'm not getting into Gilgul and Shamas. So the Ramban disagrees and says, no, let's start the second line where I started underlying. V'rov ha-tzadikim einan mekabam tzchaya gashmei b'olam hazeh. Most of the tzadikim don't get, you know, most of their schar in this world. So what are they deserving? Ra'ui she shulam ba'olam haba schar al haguf im hanefesh biyachad. So the Ramban says it makes sense that I guess the guf also did work or spiritual work in this world, and so it should have, when the ultimate reward of a person of olam haba should be both with the nefesh and a guf biyachad, and when is that going to happen? That's going to happen at tchias hamesim. There's going to be a nefesh and a guf, and at tchias hamesim, that's according to Ramban, that is Olam Haba. That leads right into Olam Haba. I'll explain what.
There wasn't anything before Tchiyat HaMesim.
We'll talk about it. There is. She'az yitkaimu ha-guf ha-nefesh shachar b'li achilu shtia. Again, they won't also be eating and drinking in this time, right? But how would you survive? You'll survive like Moshe survived, even though you have a guf, like Moshe survived on Har Sinai for 40 days. That's how you'll, even though you have a guf, you're not going to be eating and drinking, but you'll be sustaining yourself like Moshe sustained himself, I guess, Miziv Ashchina on Har Sinai. So according to these other Rishonim, most Rishonim, Olam Haba happens, is sort of synonymous with Tchias HaMesim. Right when you have Tchias HaMesim, you have a guf and your neshama come back, and that's, we're going to talk surely, that happens towards at the end of Yemos HaMashiach. That we're going to see in the other sources coming up is going to be for almost the whole world, both Rishayim and Tzadikim, because Rishayim should get a schar, guf, and neshama, and that's the Tzadikim, and the Rishayim should get punished, guf, and neshama, at this time of Tchias HaMesim, and that's Olam Haba, and that's for Nitzchias, and that's forever. Aval Miyad, so what happens right after you die? This is where the Rambam, again, the Rambam said when you die, that's, you go to Olam Haba. But according to these other Rishonim, Miyad Acher HaMavis, you don't go to Olam Haba, you go to a place called Yesh Madrega Nikra Gan Eden. You go to either Gan Eden or Gehenim, or what they call Olam HaNeshamos. That's where you go when you die. Gan Eden, Shenefashos Hatzikim Gnuzos Sham, they're in a staging, they're held there, Ad Shikamu L'Tchias HaMesim, until the time of Tchias HaMesim, where they get V'yiskul Chaya Olam Haba, where they get Acher Tchias HaMesim, where they start, where they can come for the ultimate reward of Tchias HaMesim and Olam Haba. So according to this, the Ramban and the other Rishonim, you die, then you go to Olam Neshamas. Olam Neshamas is either is Gan Eden or Gehenim. You're getting punished and rewarded on a certain level. However, at the end of Yemos HaMashiach, and there's going to be a Tchias HaMesim for everyone, and you're going to be reunited with Neshama and Guf, and that's where you'll get, and that leads right into Olam Haba forever. Neshama and Guf, you don't die again like the Rambam said, and that's your ultimate reward or your ultimate punishment forever and ever. So those who I want to just discuss that machlokas, it continues a little bit, explains that v'ulam ikat chias hamesim tia liyam hadin, as I mentioned, goes for this next source, according to Ramban, is for everyone. V'teh leklal u'ma olu ruba, for most of the, or almost all the of the nations. Oleklal olam olu ruba, you know, all of these nations. This is like what they call kikulam ruim l'schar v'l'onesh. She calls calls this like the Yom HaDin. When you see in some of the prophecies, the Yom HaDin is Tchias HaMesim, is that end, last day of judgment. That's where the Tzadikim get judged, and the Rishayim get judged, and then forever and ever. Just explaining it. However, the Sefer Karm does say, according to the Rambam, it's not exactly like I said. There might be two stages of Tchias HaMesim. There might be I was just talking about a Tchias HaMesim that happens at the end of Yom HaMashiach, like for everyone. The Ramban mentions maybe for the Tzadik and Gemurim, it can happen a little earlier on in Yom HaMashiach. And then he says they can maybe eat and drink. He's giving that to you. But then slowly they will rise to a level of maybe Eliyahu HaNavi and then lead into this, that second, I guess, the end of Yom HaMashiach and Olam Haba forever and ever. So that was the next source. Okay, so I just wanted to... I thought that was once we were discussing, I guess, Mashiach. These are concepts that not necessarily have to do with Mashiach, which is the end of this physical world, but they were words of Gan Eden, Olam Haba, Tchias HaMesim. So I thought it was worth discussing. So again, according to the Rambam, as soon as you die, that's when you go Olam Haba. It's just neshama. There isn't a point later on in where we have Tchias HaMesim, but then you'll redie again and go back to Olam Haba. According to the Ramban and other Rishonim, as soon as you die, you don't go to Olam Haba, you go to either Gan Eden or Gehenim, and then at a later point in time, towards, you know, either Tzadikim will have Tchias HaMesim and then slowly evolve into like an Eliyahu Navi state, or it will only be towards the end of Yom HaMashiach, there will be a Tchias HaMesim for everyone, you'll be reunited Guf and Neshama, you won't die, and you're rewarded in Olam Haba, not like the Rambam is not just Neshama, but is Neshama and Guf.
Which of the two should we prefer?
I'm just laying out what the Rishonim and the Sefer Karim say, you know, puts both out there. So, you know, that's...
What's the basis for the concept?
Again, they're going through, again, you know, through, again, there's no, the Rambam's going to say, in one of the sources, there is no Masorah, really, on this, and there's just how these are understanding, how these Rishonim understood the Psukim in the Nevi'im, to try to explain, you know, these ideas. So, you know, I'll go, let's, okay. So now, the now let's, if we're going to be talking about calculating Mashiach's arrival, let's talk about the next source, the Rambam Hilchos Melachim Perek Yud Bet. What does Yemos HaMashiach look like? Uvoso Azman Lo Yesham Lo Ra'av V'lo Melchama. There won't be famine, there won't be war. V'lo Kina V'tacharut V'hatova Shitei Mushpa'at Harbe. There'll be plenty of bounty. V'cho Ma'adanim Mitzuyin Ka'afar. Right? Things, you know, just... you know, wealth abounds. So if you don't have to work for a panasa and this peace in the world, so what are you going to do spending your day? So you'll spend your days on spiritual matters, contemplating Hashem. So if the world is trying to even now start being involved in spiritual matters, Am Yisrael hopefully has a head start on that, and so they'll be looked at as very wise. Okay, so that's the days of Mashiach that we're hoping for. When we talk about calculating Mashiach, so there's a Gemara that we saw in the first source, where we're jumping off Parshas Vayechi, that Hashem did not want Yaakov to reveal the Kates. So... this Gemara has that same thought in mind. Amar Rav Shmuel, this is in Sanhedrin, Tzadi Zayin Amid Beis. Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmei, Amar Rav Yochanan, Tipach Atzman Shem Machshvei Kitzin. So the bones of the people who try to calculate the arrival of Mashiach, they should be, you know, suffer. So Shio Omrim, because what would you say, you know, what do these people do? Kevan, because they'll calculate a day and the day will pass. So Kevan, she get a Kates Velo Ba, Shuv Eino Ba. People will start saying, lose hope, and say, oh, you said it was coming in the year 6000. The year 6000 doesn't come, and we're going to lose hope. And I think, by the way, if 6,000 comes and passes, you go to shul the next day and you put on your tefillin and b'chol yom achakelo and every day you wait, and these are things, as we'll see, are very, very hidden, and we do our a part of chesed and Torah and mitzvahs in terms of what we can do to bring Mashiach. So the Rambam also there's another Rambam, another problem of just calculating a date and being wrong and people losing faith. It was said in the name of the, I think it was the Brisker Rav. If you look at this Rambam in Hilchos Malachim Perek Yud Aleph, where I underlined it, I guess we can read the whole thing. HaMelech HaMashiach Atid Lamod. Who's the Melech HaMashiach? He's going to stand up. L'achzir Machus David Liyoshna. He'll reinstate Machus David. L'memshal HaRishona. Bonem Migdash. He's going to build the base on Migdash. And he's going to ingather Bnei Yisrael. And the halachas are all going to return of makrivim karbonos, and there'll be shemitah and yovel, and all the other mitzvahs that are said in the Torah. Next line. If you don't believe in this, in Mashiach, and now I wrote, it sounds like two separate concepts. Misha'enu mechakeh l'biyato. So it's not enough just to believe in Mashiach, but you have to be mechakeh, you have to wait him. So someone, I think the Brisker Rav says, if I calculated a date, this is another thing that might be wrong with calculating dates. I said he's coming next Tuesday, right? So then you're not, between now and next Tuesday, you're not being mechakeh lo b'chol yom. You're saying, why am I, I don't think he's coming tomorrow, I think he's coming next Tuesday, So you sort of might be a pagam in the mechakeh lo b'chol yom, which one has an obligation to do, not just to be mamin, but to be mechakeh lo. So how can we, and why do we see that Rishonim? We're going to be talking about Rav Sajigon, we're going to go through his calculation, the Ramban's calculation, the Abarbanel's calculation, some other calculations of Italian Jewry, and then the Malbim's calculation. We'll go through five different calculations. So why? How are we allowed to do that? So the Ramban already discussed it in Sefer Geula, Sharavi, and he gave two answers. One was Divrei Shema Ve'efshar. You can't say it Bevada'ut. That would make people, if it passes, and lose faith. But if you just interpret certain psukim, in which we're going to be focusing on psukim in the very end of Daniel, and you offer a possible interpretation of those psukim, which result in a certain day of the Kates. Okay, so that was your interpretation, but people shouldn't lose faith because he didn't say it b'vadoed. You said it shem of efshar, and another thing he says of efshar gam kein she'anachem krovim lo be'emet mitzad arichas. So he said, also now we're not at the time just of right after the Churban, we're many, many years later, so maybe when the years are later, maybe we have more of a head there to start, because discussing it. Because we're closer. So, but again, I like someone pointed out, I don't know if it's the Rambam, but it was saying that if Hashem told Avram, in Bris Ben Absarim, that Arba Me'at Shana, right? And that was explicit. He's saying you're going to be Eretz Lelahem for 400 years, but we were only in Mitzrayim 210 years. So you look back and say, okay, it's 400 years, maybe from Bris Ben Absarim. Maybe it was 430 years, from the time Yitzchak was born. It only becomes clear, retroactively, and that was something which couldn't have been more clearer. Wait, 400 years. So the time you get into Mitzrayim, wait 400 years, and then you leave. And it does. So you're going to read some psukim in Daniel where Hashem specifically says these are concealed, and I want you to conceal it and hidden, and we're going to try to say anything with any nothing bevaduot. Also understand. So let's read that. Let's see why we're going to be focusing on the end of Daniel. And I think that's because this next source, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Tzadi Zayin Amid Beis, quotes a machlokes, Amarayim, and then says it's a machlokes Tanayim. Says, when does Mashiach come? Do we have to do tshuva in order for Mashiach to come? Or can Mashiach come even without tshuva? Amarav Kul. Kolu kolu kitzin. All the days that, you know, we've been already thinking about, these are Marayim, they've all passed. Ve'en adav atarli ela b'tshuva ma'isim tovim. Mashiach's going to come when we do tshuva. And Shmuel says, da'il ha'evel shamod b'avlo. Don't say that, you know, put it onto even something external from us. You know, a person's year of avelus is over when the year of avelus is over. So, and happens automatically. Shmuel wants to say that the Mashiach is going to come at a certain date, even without tshuva. We're going to see that these are not. We're not even. It's really even that concept coming on a certain date. It's going to be with tshuva. We're going to see from later, but it's maybe not on the same high level of tshuva as what the first Tana, Amora, or Tana thinks to hold. You know, so we'll see. Ketanoi, want to say this machlokes? Does Mashiach come with tshuva, without tshuva? Is a machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, because Rabbi Eliezer says im Yisrael osin tshuva nigolin vein lav ein nigolin. Rabbi Yeshua says no, im ein osin tshuva. You're going to say im ein osin tshuva ein nigolin. You're going to say they're not going to be nigal. El Hakadosh Baruch Hu, what will happen? Hu ma'amid lahen melech shegzerusof kashot kahaman. He'll put off some sort of leader will have decrees as harsh as Haman, and the Yisrael osin tshuva machzirin lemutav, and that will force sort of a tshuva meyira type of thing, or tshuva from the gzeirot, and that will then bring the Mashiach. And then they try to quote, I go dot dot dot, Rav Yeshua and Rav Eliezer are quoting psukim back and forth. Does it going to come at a certain time or not? Rav Yeshua again is saying it's coming at a certain time. Rav Eliezer says no, it has to come with, you know, with good tshuva beforehand, a high level tshuva beforehand. So, but what's the last pasuk that Rav Yeshua is going to quote for his opinion, meaning that there's a date for Mashiach's arrival? He quotes this pasuk that we're going to really focus on from the very, very last psukim in Daniel. V'alok far nemar b'Daniel in Perek Yud Bet, the last perek. V'eshma et ha'ish lavush habadim. I heard this man, it was like it's an angel who's in linen, Hashem mimal yimeha yor, who's on top, who's floating sort of on top of this water. What did I hear this man say? Vayaram yamino, I saw him raise his hand, v'smalo, he raised his hands, el shamayim, towards heaven, v'yishava b'chay olam, and he made this angel sort of promised, swore, ki lemoed, at a time, moadim, times, v'chetzi, and a half. At a time, times, and a half. V'chalot, let me just look right here. Right. Yad im kadesh, am kadosh, it should be. Let me just look down in there. That when the broken hands of this holy nation will occur, Tichlena kol eilen. All this will happen. And then v'shasak Rabbi Eliezer. When Rabbi Eliezer heard this pasuk, we quoted from Rabbi Yeshua that there will be the kates will happen at a time, times and a half. Seems like that's when the kates is going to happen. Nothing about tshuva. Another source, Talmud Yerushalmi in Tainus, Perek Aleph, Daf Samach Gimel, talks about this end. We all know that there was the words in the Navi where it says, Be'ita achishena, where in its time, I will hasten it. Sounds like it's a contradiction. What do you mean, in its time, I will hasten it? So they explain, Rabach B'Shem Rav Yeshua Ben Levi again, Imzach is achishena. If you guys do tshuva and you deserve it, so it can come any day, it can come earlier. Vim lav, but if not, Be'ita, there'll be a set time that it's coming. And that was that, again, that opinion of Rabbi Yeshua, again, which was said by, explained at the end of Daniel, that this Kates is coming, Moed, Moadim, Vachetzi. So let's look at Daniel over there. It says, actually, that phrase is said first in Perek Zion in Aramaic, and then it's said at the very end, in Hebrew. It says in Perek Zion, Daniel sees a vision of four different animals, and he asks the Malach, "What does it mean?" And the four different animals coming from the sea are four different represent the four different galus. They represent, you know, Bavel and Persia and Yavan, and then the last one, which was the worst of all the beasts, is Edom, which we're currently in. And he says, "Kain Amar." Pasuk Chav Gimel and Perek Zayin. Chav Yata Reviyasa. This fourth animal represents Malchu Reviyat Yave. Represents this fourth nation. And a number of psukim later, two psukim later, and he says, "How long are we going to be subservient to this nation? Ad Idan Vidanin Uplag Idan. At a time, times, and half a time." So they said, and then it's repeated again what we saw. In the very end, the last few psukim of Perek Daniel, where I told you what he saw a malach over a water, and he heard him say that phrase, Moed Moedim Bachetzi. However, then he asked, when is this all going to happen? Let's go to... this malach also explains to him two other times. Umeit, let's go to Yud Aleph. Umeit Husar HaTamid, from the time that the Tamid stopped, Latet Shikut Shemam, and this nation should be what did I say? Yud Aleph, be put in its place and be quieted. How much time will elapse to this end of the days? It would be Yamim Elef, 1,000 Matayim Betishim. 1,290. So Daniel, besides saying Moed Moedim Bachetzi, when he asks when is it going to be, because I skip pasuk tet. Daniel asks, "Kis tumim v'chatumim hadvarim ad eight kates." When is this kates going to happen? They're all hidden, and you know. So the answer it's going to gives them two numbers. One number they say wait for 1,290, and the next pasuk says Ashrei, you know, praise is the person Hamachakevi Agil Yamim who waits till the Yamim 1,345 years later, 1,335. So you see, you have these two dates that are mentioned in Daniel, and then it says at the very right, so the mention in Daniel 1,290 and 1,335. So. And they're all discussing, well, as I say, they're discussing when the case is going to happen. So what does Rav Sadia Gaon do with these two, how to make these two things drive? Moed, Moedim, Vachetzi, and the 1,290, the 1,335. So I wrote down in my handwriting here, Rav Sadia says the first Moed is not, doesn't come into the equation. It's like Moed Chodesh Aviv. It's the time of Chodesh Aviv. So he wants to say it's the time, Ki Moed, the time of Moadim Vachetzi. It's the time of Moadim, two epochs that we will deal with, and then half a time, half that time. That's when Mashiach's going to come. So what does Rav Sadia Gaon do? He says the first of the Moadim refers to two times. The first time, you're in Daniel in Galus Bavel, so you're looking back. So what do you look back at? The first you look back at is from the time you left Mitzrayim to the time of Bayis Rishon, which is 480 years, I wrote down. The second time of Moadim is from Bayis, how long did Bayis Rishon last? Which is 410 years. Okay? So he, Rav Sadia Gaon, and we'll read it inside in the next source, is going to add the 480 as one Moed and the 410 as a second Moed. One, again, looking at from time of Yetzias Mitzrayim to Bayis Rishon, it took us 480 years to build the Bayis Rishon, and then Bayis Rishon lasted for 410 years. You add that together, you get 890. Then he says, Vachetzi, take half of that time. Half of 890 is 445. You add the years, the Moadim of 890, and half of it of 445, you get out to 1,335. That's all of a sudden, that's what Daniel was referring back to. Again, what is it, 1,335 years? He's taking a starting point for sometime right before the end of Korban Rishon. It brings you into Rav Sadia Gaon's time of the 900s, when Rav Sadia Gaon lived. So let's see how he did it inside. This is quoted, again, I didn't have a Munad V'Deyot where he said it, but it was quoted in a Rashi. He quotes, Rashi quotes in Daniel, quotes Rav Sadja, Perek Zayin Pasuk Chafei. Reiti Kasa B'Shem Rav Sadja. Let's just look at our calculations inside. Haim Elef V'Gimel Me'ad, the 1,335 years, that it says at the end, B'Sof HaSefer, that a person should wait for those 1,335 years. How do you get to that date? It goes to Hamoed ad et shnei itim v'chetzi eight v'chetzi eight. It's you have to do moadim two times and a half a time. So what is the first time? Amar sheitim heim. What do I think the first time is? Dalad meot upei 480. Shami, and what does that stand for? What does that first eight stand, moed, I'm sorry, stand for? It's miyom, from the time they left Mitzrayim, ad shenifne habayit. It's 480 years. What's the second moed? V'dalet meod ve'eser, 410 years, yimei mikdash rishon. So then you're left with 800, tuf tzadi, 890 years. And what's half of that? Vod chetzi ha'eit. Is half of that 444, and you get up to our 1,335. So that was Rav Sadja Gaon's calculations. Comes out to his when he lived, and that's how he works with these two psukim of Moed Moed Adim Mechetzi and the time of 1,335. What does he do with the 1290? So I heard a lot of the shiur is now coming from David Berger, who I heard on YU Torah. Rabbi Doctor David, so he mentioned that he thought Rav Sadja took the 1290 and I guess started it from a later date, but they both come to the same time. What does the Ramban do? Ramban is living, you know, in the 1200s, and so the 900s have already passed. So he comes up with a very, he comes with the following calculation. He says that the Beis HaMikdash, I mean, we sort of say it was destroyed in the year 70. Chazal used the words the year 68. So he says, add 1290 to the year 68, and that's going to be the year that Mashiach ben Yosef comes. Add 1335, the second number in the end of Daniel, to 68, to the end of Korban Sheni. That's going to give us the year 1403. The Ramban said the year 1403, that's the year that Mashiach is going to come. That's that first paragraph here. We'll just read what I underlined. Kime'et husar tamid b'churban habayit. What is the time when we're going to see that this time of husar tamid, when the tamid stopped, can be some people meant anywhere from the time of the Khorban and give or take 6 years, maybe even before that, in that time period. So he says that the Shanim of 1290, when you add it to the Khorban Habayit, ki azit kale Mashiach ben Ephraim, that's when Mashiach ben Yosef comes. And he wants to say, Mashiach ben Yosef comes, there's going to be 40 years. He's going to help ingather, but he's going to fight the milchamos, but he'll die in the milchamos of Gog. That's if you made a reference, someone mentioned it before. Ad Mashiach ben David. And then Mashiach ben David is going to come on the scene, and he's going to be on the scene for another 5 years, and that's where you get the 45 years between 1290 and 1335, till finally where it says in that pasuk where you wait 1,335, and he says he has Mashiach ben David coming securely in the year 1403. What does he do with Moed, Moadim, and Vachetzi? So according to the Ramban, he takes the Moed as, if you look in the next paragraph, Arba'a Me'od, he says, V'da, ki ha-galut ha-rishon, the first galut, right, hu ha-niska ben ha-b'tarim, was from Brit ben ha-b'tarim, till the time we entered Eretz Yisrael. So from Brit Ben Neptarim to Yitzis Mitzrayim was 400 years. Another 40 years in the desert. So his time period is 440. So we've already seen someone use 410, 480. Now we're using the number 440, which represents from Brit Ben Neptarim to the time we went into Eretz Yisrael. This is the Ramban. And he uses now, he uses the Moed as 1440. He is Moadim as 2440s, as 880. And then Vachetzi is another half of 440, is 220. When you add up 440 times 3.5, why 3.5? From your Moed is 1. Moadim is another 2, to bring up to 3. Vachetzi is a half. You're getting to years of 1,540. What does that have to do with what he mentioned before of when Mashiach's coming in the year 1403? How do those two jive? So if you look at the last paragraph, he says, to know, he brings down, v'dah, ki chachmei ha-mishma me'idim b'biyor, ki Rome, tafsa machus al anshe bayit sheni bin tzacham et yevanim. When did Rome come to power? When they defeated the Greeks? He wants to say it's 206 years. Mizman matayim v'sheish shana, 206 years, kodem ha-chorban. They came into power 206 years before the Chorban. So when you add the 206 to the 1330, he says 4 instead of 35, because he wants to say Mashiach's coming in that last year, you're going to add, what is the lifespan of Rome? From when Rome came to power to when he predicts Mashiach's going to come and Rome is going to fall, the end, he says those two dates, to 206, and the 1335 minus 1 year is 1540. That's the 1540 which the Pasuk in Daniel was referring to of Moed Moedim Vachetzi. So Moed Moedim Vachetzi, Hashem is telling us, you wait 1,540 years. What is that? What is that according to the Ramban? That's the and you look in Google. I looked up Google. I said Roman Empire. How long is that? It says 1,500 years. Ramban said 1,540 years. Right in the same, the ballpark. The Roman Empire lasted that long. And again, what do you do with the year? The date 1,335. Add that to the Chorban. And that's when Mashiach ben David is coming, the year 1403. That was his calculation. The next Rishon, the Abarbanel, lives in the 1400s. And so obviously, the end of the 1400s, he was around even with the expulsion, 1492. So obviously, 1403 already passed. So what does he do? He likes the calculation of the Ramban because he likes saying 1335, just add it to the Korban. And the 1290 also, what did he do? He adds in the beginning, in the Pasuk, it says, doesn't just say the days, but if you look in the Pasuk of those years, it has the word Yamim before it mentions those years. It says, Yamim Elef Matayim V'tishim. Yamim Elef Shlosh Me'ot Shloshim V'Chamisha. So he takes the gematria of Yamim, which is 100, and he just adds 100 to the two dates of the Ramban. He says your 1290 now becomes 1390, your 1335 now becomes 1435. Add 100 years, so now it brings in, instead of 1403, he says Mashiach's going to come in 1503. What advantage did I have just by doing a gematria and this and that? Is that if you take the now, instead of the 1290, which is now 1390, and you add it again, not from the time of the Korban, but you go back 5 years when he says, well, let's say by the time that the Korban stopped, if you take from the year, from the Korban stop, and you add now my Yamim, my 100, plus my 1290, that date that was in Daniel, you're going to get to the year 1453. I say Mashiach's going to come in 1503, but in 1453, that's a very important date that Daniel said to wait for. That's your 1290 plus 100 from the time of the end of the Korbanos. He's living in 1453. He lived through 1453. What happened in 1453? The fall of Constantinople. Fall of Constantinople shook the world. Fall of Constantinople was the fall of the Holy Roman Empire. It was the fall of Christendom to the invading Muslims. So this was an amazing, you know. So he said, if this event, which shook the world, fits in with my days of 1290 or plus 100, 1390, from the time of when the Kibbutz stopped, maybe in the Chorban Bayasheni, oh my God, something in the world history just happened. So now, very soon after this, another 50 years, in 1503, that's when I think Mashiach's going to come. Again, this is in the lifetime of the Bar Barbanel, in the end of the 1400s, I think he died in the very beginning, 1508, according to a sefer that I had. The next time, which just pushes off the year, so we saw, again, the Rav Sadja in the 900s, Ramban 1403, we have Abarbanel 1503, another year which is just slightly, 1575, a little bit same century, but a number of years later, according to David Berger, was given by some Italian jury, and they had another concept. They said, don't start counting your 1335 from the Chorban, but start counting it from the first possible day that it could Mashiach could arrive. According to them, they're basing themselves on a Gemara. Tana d'Beilayom, Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Tzadi Zayin on Aleph. Sheshes Alafim, this is where Shana Havei Alma. The world would last 6,000 years. Shnei Alafim Tohu. The first 2,000 years are going to be Tohu. What does that relate to? Avram was born in the year 1948. And they say when he was 52 years old, which brings you to the year 2000, that's when it's Vatanefesh Asu B'choron. That's when he started publicly spreading Torah. So that can stay until Torah started being spread in the world by Avram. Those are the first 2,000 years called Tohu. The next Shnei Alafim Torah, the next 2,000 years are Torah. It ends within maybe in the 50 years of when Rebbe died of the Stimas of the Mishnah. And then it starts Shnei Alafim Yemos HaMashiach. The last 2,000 years of the world is called Yemos HaMashiach, meaning Uvava Osenu, but because of our Shirabu, because of our Chatoyim, that are many, Yatsu Mehem Mashiachu. The days are already passing, but I mean, Mashiach can come any time during the last 2,000 years, according to this calculation of world history. So these Italian Jews are saying, take the 1335, don't add it to the Chorban, but take 1335 and add it to the year 4000, because that's the first year that Mashiach can come. You get this number, 4000 plus 1335 is 5335, which is the year 1575. What did someone point out, and this is a gematria again, of what is 5335? What is that? If you took the last two psukim in Daniel that we quoted, and you add the gematria of these last, which has the last, the second to last pasuk has 1,335, and then you add this what it says, and then the last pasuk of Daniel, which he says, "Vata lich lakeitz," and for you go to your end, "Vatanuach," and you'll rest, "Vatamod," and you'll, and then arise again, "Lagorcha lakeitz hayamim," to your portion at the end of days. So you add the gematria of those last two psukim. What do they come out to? The gematria of the 5,335, which according to this calculation was when Mashiach was going to come. The last, trying to bring it into a little bit more modern day, I looked at the Malbim. Malbim lived in the 1800s.
That fits in with when the false
Messiah. Shabbat, I don't. Shabbat was when?
The 16th century,
no? I'm not sure. I have to.
It was around 100. 1535 plus 70, it would have been 1605. Shabbat was a little later than that.
Right, but here it comes into 1570. He comes into 1575. Was with these Italian juries calculation? I'll just do the Malbim outside. You can look it inside if you with the sheet. But he takes he says two possible moadim. He says there's one moed of 400 years, and that was Golos Mitzrayim. And what should you do with that pasuk of Moed, Moedim, Vecheitzi? Take the Moed of 400 years. Moedim of 800 years gives you 1,200 years, right? And Vecheitzi is half of those 1,200 years again, is another 600 years. So you get to 1,800 years. He says add it to the of the Churban, so it's the year 1868. That was 1 year. And the, or he says another date is maybe the Moed is 410, not 400. What is 410? That's the length of the first Beis HaMikdash standing. And if you do the math of Moed, Moedim, Vachetzi with 410, you get, instead of 1800, you get to 1845. You add that to the Churban, you get the year 1913. As what he, and what does he say with these two times? Well, he calls it, if you look, it says, Huchbal HaDavar. They said it both maybe in Perek Zion and in Perek Yud Bet, right? And it gives two times. Maybe it's why to tell you that maybe that the 1868 Tiyah Hatchala will be a beginning of a process, but he thinks V'yagia Achrit HaDavar B'shnat, you know, Tafresh Ayin Gimel, 1913. I just looked up it. The World War One started 1914. So close. But you know that was when the Malvim.
Let me, when was Karl Marx?
Don't know. Let's end with the again with the you know with the Rambam. V'chol elu hadvarim uchiyotze behen. All these concepts that we've been discussing tonight. Lo yada adam echiya achiyu. We don't know what will be till it will be. Shadvarim stum hein etzel neviim. They were closed, you know, even to the neviim. Gam hachacham ein lahem kabbalah bedvarim elu. We don't have a mesorah. Elafi hachra psukim. We look at the. They look at the psukim. Lefichach yeshem machlokus bedvarim elu. There is, and again, all these dates that we said in the past. So it could have been. These are potential dates. It doesn't mean that they were wrong. I mean, they said Chizkiyahu could have been Mashiach again, and then you know, but he didn't sing Shira. You know, so Mashiach could have. It could have been a very, you know. You know, what's he called? Not precipitate. It could have been a very, you know, time for potential of Mashiach. You know, but again, it didn't happen for whatever reason. You know, we didn't merit it, so we're just pointing out certain times in history that might be a good time for Mashiach to come. Maybe according to how they looked at the pesukim. Val kol ponim ein sidur havas zvarim elu velo diktuktem ikur badat. These are not fundamental beliefs that we have to have as Jews. Ula olam lo yitasek adam bedivrei ha'agados. We shouldn't spend a lot of time in these agados. V'lo yarech b'medrashus hamun binyonim elu chayotze behen. We shouldn't spend a lot of time doing these calculations. V'lozim le'ikar. We shouldn't make this the ikar focus of our study. She'ein, why? These studying these ideas, she'ein mivin lo li de'yira v'lo li de'ava. We right? V'chein lo yachshov ha'kitzen am ha'chacham tapach rucham shel machshve ha'kitzen. We saw that Gemara. Ella, what should a person do? Yechake, he should wait, v'yamin, and believe. Bechlal adava kamosha b'yarnu. So,
I really understand the Book of Daniel. You know,
yeah.
This year.
Right.
And I modified it, drop the Perek Tet, so I have a little added.
Right.
And I give you how to explain Moed, Moedim, Bechetzi,
V'alim,
and then not one, they're not equivalent.
Right.
You got to take it in context. They're taking all these numbers out of context.
Right.
And it tells you exactly. If anybody wants a copy of my book, you want to look at my book, it's on the shelf in Daniel.
Okay.
And I've worked on it many years.
Okay, great.
And this is the book. And if you want to have a general picture, I've given a date of 2005 or something for the War of Gog,
right.
But I've modified it, and now I feel I've got it, 2016,
mm-hmm.
and so that's the modification at the end of Perek Tet.
Right.
But and then there's this book on the Vuot HaGula, of the whole all the predictions.
Great.
Thank you. I give it to you.
Thank you so much.
Enjoy
Thank you.
Yourself.
Thank you
and
so much.
If anybody
appreciate
else wants it, just come to my house and you can get a free copy.
I appreciate okay. it. Okay,
but,
good.
But this one, it's almost ludicrous to hear these calculations.
These calculations. I just want to look again.
They're a joke. They're absolutely a joke. They have no understanding of what's written in the Book of Daniel and so forth. It took me years to figure it out.
Right.
And
it says you shouldn't spend a lot of time on it. Did you see that, Rambam?
Well, you have an interest.
But if you've solved the problem, then it was worth it.
Okay, good.
In case you ever
want to
know.
Okay, good.
And it's not talking about Mashiach in general. This is a misunderstanding of the concept that there'll be a leader who build the Beit HaMikdash, fine, but they're not talking about it.
These are, like they said, that Daniel said these concepts are sussum. They're very hidden and obscure.
It says at 8 Kates, until a certain year, you won't be able to understand it.
Okay.
After that date, you'll be able to understand it.
Good. Okay.
So what year, 2016.
I give it perhaps in the beginning of 2017.
It's just 3 years to go.
That's right.
Is what Mashiach's going to come?
No. Melchemet Gog. Melchemet Gog is described in the Book of Yechezkel.
The timing with Iran is right on target.
All the nations of the world, the let's say, comes against us to destroy us. And then we destroy them. This is the picture. It's a terrible picture.
I got a sentence I once said around my Shabbos table. I said, they talk about that in the Gula Shlishi, we're going to recognize that and give Shevach to Hashem for saving us in that time, and we won't be going back to Yetzias Mitzrayim as much. We'll be thanking Hashem because it's going to be so much greater. Okay, there was such an unbelievable miracle to happen in Yetzias Mitzrayim, such an unbelievable hafrada between Mitzrayim and the Jews. So if you want to say that we're not going, and it's going to be on that level, it's even going to be greater than that level. I just gave an example. I said that means like, and who wants to live through this? This is so scary. But you're saying like a nuclear bomb falling on Yerushalayim in the old city, the Jewish quarter survives and the Muslim quarter gets wiped out. The world will look at that and say that has to be Yad Hashem.
You want to wait for something. Nuclear bombs on countries like Iraq, Iran, Ethiopia. This is all sort of predicted that they will be destroyed.
Right.
And Jordan, the southern half of Jordan.
When there is.
If you want a copy, you know where I
live. Gilui Shechina. When Hashem reveals Himself.
Where do you live?
27 Hakam. If you want a copy.
I'm worried when there's Gilu Shechina and there's not the proper Hachana. So I was thought then there's a Magefa, and 4/5 of the Jews did not leave Mitzrayim.
If you want to read it, it's right over there. You can find it.
I think it's much better when we have.
I wrote 29.
When we do, when we have the Tshuva and coming in that way, I think comes in a much easier, softer way.